All right, listen up. This is Hoxton on Audio Boom. Get your ears working, people.
Hello, and welcome to Double Tap, Audio Boom's official gaming podcast. I'm Alice Taplin, and this week I'll be going to an amazing gaming bar to play Doctor Who Pinball. But first, I'm going to give you my top 8 games to look out for in 2016. First up, and probably the most obvious on the list, is No Man's Sky. Set for release in June, it's the game everyone's talking about, but if you don't know what it is by now, it's an open universe game where players can explore an almost infinite procedurally generated galaxy, discovering new information about each unique planet and surviving their many dangers.
I've seen things, galaxies waiting to be found, battles to be fought. A universe you wouldn't believe.
Obviously, I'm not going to spend the 4 billion years it would take to explore all 18 quintillion planets, mostly because I can't, but just knowing that every mountain you see in the distance is another place that you can actually go to and not just a piece of background is incredible.
It's hard to watch something you love destroy itself. See it fall apart. Disaster always feels so distant, detached. Someone else's struggle in some faraway place.
Staying with the open world theme, next on my list is Tom Clancy's The Division, coming out in March. Set in the middle of a pandemic sweeping the USA, your job is to team up with other Division agents in New York City to investigate the cause of the virus, while also combating the threat of those who unleashed it. Anyone who knows me well knows that I'm a sucker for any game that even remotely mentions an apocalypse, but what I like about this game is that it feels like you get more control over how you go about trying to navigate the dangers of the city and investigate what's going on, instead of having to make decisions you wouldn't in real life just to advance the story, like in other games.
And their pharaoh, the angel, chained. Babylon is fallen.
It wouldn't be a complete list if I didn't mention Outlast 2. Not much has actually been released about the game so far, other than a cryptic summary, which you can read on the game's Steam page, and that it's set in the same universe as the original game, but with different characters. Just like how I don't know whether I enjoyed the first Outlast, or whether I was just proud to have gotten through it without throwing up, I'm not sure whether I'm actually excited for this sequel or just interested to see what else Red Barrels can throw at us. Needless to say, I'm certain it definitely won't be one for the squeamish, and that's probably putting it lightly. One game that we won't have to wait much longer for is This War of Mine, The Little Ones, which comes out later this month.
Life. It's about being squeezed in the morning crowd, dealing with the assholes in the office, getting stuck in the traffic 5 days a week, spending money on the next must-have thing to end the day with a little one hating you without a reason. I wish I had problems like these.
It follows a similar story to the original. You're a group trying to survive in a besieged city that holds constant danger, but not much food or supplies, but this time with a twist. Your group now contains children too. I'm looking forward to seeing how the aspect of having the responsibility of keeping kids alive, not just a group of adults, changes the way I play this game. Will I take less risks knowing that I have no one else to keep them alive? Or will I have to, or even be willing to, sacrifice other adults to benefit the children? Probably, but we'll see where it goes.
Mama, where are you?
To quench our thirst before they release Season 3 of the Walking Dead game, Telltale are providing us with the first episode of their three-parter focusing on Michonne next month. Dory will follow the character's journey in line with episodes 126 to 139 of the comics, and players will discover more about what took her away from Rick and the group, and also what brought her back. As a fan of the comics, I'm definitely interested in learning more about her character, and also as a fan of the first two seasons of the Telltale game, I'm also looking forward to whatever emotional damage they'll be able to inflict on me this time.
Not everyone deserves saving.
Aside from those big five, some others that you should keep an eye out for are Adrift, a first-person space survival game that's quite reminiscent of the film Gravity, DayZ, or Zed, depending on what country you come from, a realistic open-world zombie apocalypse game that's already out on alpha, so you can test it out for yourself, and Raise the Dead, the game where you can finally get to play a zombie and find out exactly how you died. 2016 is gonna rock. And now it's time for this week's gaming news. The actress who played Yugiri in Final Fantasy XIV has been found dead with her two young children in London. Shan Blake, who was 43, was reported missing on December 16th, along with her 8 and 4-year-old children. A police spokesperson said that all three died from head and neck injuries, and authorities are seeking Blake's partner, Arthur Simpson Kent, in relation to their death. Mojang are working to remove a fraudulent Minecraft game from iTunes. The game, titled Minecraft Pocket Edition 2, was released on the Apple Store for $7 and reached number 4 on the charts. However, gameplay appears to be nothing like Minecraft and the app crashes within minutes. Mojang's Director of Creative Communications, Owen Hill, stated, "It's great that Minecraft has inspired people to create amazing things, but when a product attempts to dupe our community or exploit their enthusiasm for the game, it's our responsibility to step in." A research group has provided a prediction of how much they think the PlayStation VR will cost. In a new report about the virtual reality market, Superdata has estimated the headset will cost between $400 and $600. By comparison, Oculus VR also announced this week that their consumer model, Oculus Rift, will cost $600. PlayStation VR is expected to launch in the first half of 2016. And now I'm off to a gaming bar to play Doctor Who pinball. I've just got here to the loading bar in Stratford. There's also one in Dalston. And I'm here to meet James. He's going to show me around a bit more and talk about the bar and why he filled it with video games.
I run Loading, which is a gaming bar, and now gaming bars, I guess. It's plural.
So yeah, this is our new space. So whereas the other one's a lot more of a cocktail lounge, this place we took over was real traditional boozer. So like brass railings on the bar, old man's pub, which it took us a bit of time to sand things back, like set fire to the carpet and release whatever demons were in that. Still working around that pub idea of bringing people together, but more the old style of pub of community stuff. So as you come through, we've got like traditional stuff, so pinball, table football, and then the first side of the bar's trying to lure people in, so nothing too gamified. So a little bit of game tea artwork.
You've got
walls.
As well that big Doctor Who pinball machine, yes. Over there, I can see. What I should do
just
is
don't let the ball go down the hole.
Yeah.
As is, you know.
Do classic.
Timeless pinball rules to live by. Which so you have 7 Doctors.
I'll go with Tom Baker.
What happens when you put me under pressure? It crumbles.
Oh, I like how it has the master there as well.
Yes.
When you lose. There are so many balls, not to sound rude.
And that's the experience of like 99.9% of people that play it. Like, come on, pinball. You're like, and it's more annoying because like physics. But it's just, you'll see it coming a mile off. It's going to fall down the middle, and it just does.
So you've even got table football.
Yes.
I've enlisted the help of my producer, Jamie, because I'm terrible at football, to help me challenging you to a game.
Worst thing about this, I'm also terrible at football, so I think you're going to do all right.
Come on. Audio boom versus loading bar.
We which way are we supposed to be shooting?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, which way?
Yeah, it's going well for you.
So I scored a goal, but in the wrong goal.
No, that's the right one.
Oh, that was the right one. Yeah, oh, amazing. Yeah, okay, great. Right.
So we're to your left, so our right.
Does this now mean you're going to fall to pieces?
So, we should probably fast forward here. Oh,
yes!
Nice. I scored a goal. Okay, so back to the tour.
Window three, we've got the flat screen in which we've got our like one console. So at the moment, it's Battlefront on split screen, but we'll do like Street Fighter. Anything that's got a two-player mode, we'll stick up on there. Then the projector that drops down for when we do things like drink along with X-Files, tonight with the pub quiz, people showing off games and they just want a bigger screen. Pixel fireplace, because the fireplaces were covered over, but yeah, I pestered one of the indie devs that was here and just went, can you draw me like a pixel fire thing? I thought he'd do it in, say, 5 pixels, but instead he got a ruler out and did grid lines and killed about 5 chalk pens trying to do this detailed fireplace. And then, yeah, into the backside of the bar, we've got 5 gaming PCs.
I'm liking the neon, almost lightsaber effect.
Yeah, the neon tubes
as well.
Were kind of, yeah, give it a little bit more futuristic, I guess, modernized the pubs. So, yeah, we've got those 5 that are all... there were like 3 people to come up and play. All of those at the moment have like local multiplayer stuff. So Gang Beasts, Nidhogg, Panel. Yeah, on this one we've got Nidhogg, which, yeah, it's kind of pixely in the game. It did for about 3 years. It was touring around like every games expo it was at, and then it got a Steam release kind of cool thing. So you're 2 fences against each other. The objective is you kill the other person. It then means you can, you're trying to go to the left side of the screen, I'm trying to go to the right, but you can't do that until you've killed them.
Oh, you got me again. And again. I like how the blood splats everywhere. You know what? I think I was better at this game when you were talking instead of playing, because now you're killing me a lot.
Yeah, you've got this weird, I don't know whether they're all naked, just the crowd of people that don't let, and then yeah, you keep going.
You can they don't respawn.
And then weirdly this giant snake thing comes and eats you, which you're sort of the winner, I guess, because you get stabbed.
Wow. It was difficult to not get distracted by playing the games, but eventually I did let James finish the tour.
We've got things like Exploding Kittens, Resistance, Perudo, Trivial Pursuit, Jenga, like they're all things that don't require a massive knowledge of games. And then yeah, we've got the old school like bar tabletop machine with, I think it's about 60 old games on it, so bemused older people come in, they'll be like, I don't understand any of this. Then they'll clock, if it's not the pinball, it would be this, like, now this, like,
yes,
you're talking to me.
Well, I can see it's got the like really classic old controls,
yep,
with just the stick and the buttons there, so I guess that they can get behind. So what games do we have on this?
Good question. Yeah, it's got a whole load on there, so you can use the
stick
in the middle, and then you've got these like 10 pages of
Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Donkey Kong 3. Oh wow, it's got quite a lot on it. It's got Frogger on it. I used to play that. So I'm getting better. I haven't played it in a while, so you know. Damn it. I tried to get cocky with it and I was like, oh, see, I'm doing well now.
Yeah, there is some art to just the blind panic approach of that, yeah, press forward and sprint.
I'd already died. I was terrible at that. I think what was so great about the bar was the intricate details. So many gaming hints everywhere, but it wasn't imposing. James explained why that was important.
The model was always, if you're not into games and coming, you should just be able to sit and have like whatever drink you wanted and not feel like you're in the wrong place. So be it like a biker bar or a death metal club where you'd be sat there and be like, I should be in leather or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it means they can just come in. If you don't notice, like, great. And usually you'll get people then, yeah, might clock something and be like, oh, that's, is that from like a game or is that? And then if they like it, they go off on the rampage running around like, oh my God, you got all this stuff. But if not, they can just sit there, have it and be like, thank you, bye. And for us, that was always important because if it's only gamers you kind of cater to, when say Fallout happens, you have no customers because they all are sat at home playing Fallout. So it was about, you know, you want that mix of people, that it's not just like all gamers
four gamers were like, no, it's designed for anyone should be able to come down. And with all the game stuff, like, there's something people were like, and it's quite good seeing, like, watching cynics become converts, where they'll get dragged along by someone else, and then because it doesn't have the word, like, gaming plastered in it, it's easier to convince people, like, we should go to this bar, and then they're like, and it's like, oh, it's got this stuff you can kind of, and they're like, oh, then at the end they're like, oh, that's amazing, because they haven't got a, you're not paying more or going out your way, you're not giving people a reason to say no, so they're like, it's the same, you're paying the same sort of price for a pint.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, but if you want to do this other stuff, it's on the side and free. And that's where it helps us get people that I guess would never tick a box. It's like, would you go in like a bar with games in it? Like, not really. Or like, would you go to a gaming bar specifically? Like, nope. But then they do now.
And I know also you do special cocktails as well for like game releases and stuff. What has been your favorite one, do you think?
It's a cheap one because it's not a cocktail. It was the Metal Gear shot sculpture we made, because we got asked to do one for Hideo Kojima, and we were told we'd like show it to him, whatever, present it, and I just didn't want to do something that was like, it would be very hard to explain to him when he doesn't really speak English anyway. So it's like, what can we do that works and is kind of reflects, I'm a Metal Gear fanboy anyway, so like, we need to do something cooler than just, I don't know, like have a cigar next to the drink. We're like, it's got to be good. So copying like Art Attack style with the big top down, we were like, use shot glasses for like pixel art. So I had artists do pixel picture, and then we just did like a really painful jigsaw puzzle of like 2100 shot glasses of different colors, then shot it from above, and it was like old and younger Snake from the top, which favorite and probably the worst at the same time. That was the coolest thing to do, I guess.
But I have to say, even with the old Doctor Who pinball machine and the classic games like Frogger and Donkey Kong, the best thing about this bar for me was the sense of community it creates, no matter what game you're into.
It's worth trying it once, because I guess it's the same as anywhere else, but you've got all this stuff on the edge. And like, if you want to get into games, it's, you know, if you linger long enough, you can probably harass the person you want to harass. Like, that's, people have done, like, got jobs off the back of it and kind of got advice, tips, because people are still quite happy to get someone come up and be like, oh, I listened to your podcast, or oh, I watch your YouTube videos, played your game, and it's like, oh, that's the guy that made Super Hexagon, like, they're in. And it's like, oh, that's the artist that did the soundtrack, or that's like a big chiptune person that's just here on a different day. So that's like its main thing, that if, you know, if you're not into games, it's cool, you've just got all this stuff on the side, that it's a good way to kill time. And if you are, a bit like you said with the space, there's all this stuff. If you look a bit more closely, there's like, hopefully, tons of depth and things you can get into.
Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. You can find more information about Loading Bar, including their venues and a list of their gaming-themed cocktails, at loadingonline.co.uk. Join me next week, where we'll be discussing Assassin's Creed Chronicles India and exploring the world of esports. See you then.
Double Tap is an Audio Boom production, written and presented by Alice Taplin.